We are diving. You guys, we only have 2 weeks left of Bible study this week and then next week. Then we're on break until retreat, and then we come back in the spring. So we're kind of at the closing part of Paul's letter, and we're talking about what it means to be alive in Christ. That is one of our God-given identities as children of God, that we get to be alive when the rest of the world is falling away and can feel dead and like they have no purpose. When we are in Christ, we have mission, we have purpose, we have meaning, and Christ makes us alive with him. And so we're going to dive into that tonight. But before we do, would you just bow your heads and pray with me? And we'll welcome Jesus into this space. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the power of your word, God. We thank you for the power of your testimony. We thank you for the life you lived that offered us a life with you forever. We love you, Jesus. And so we just pray that would you speak to us tonight, whatever it is you want to say, God. We all come in from different days, different seasons. But Lord, you always have a word for us and you meet us exactly where we are. So we invite you, God, be here, have your way in us tonight. And would you do something that only you can do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, friends. So we're kind of at like the pinnacle climax of the story or the chapter of the letter that Paul's writing. And what we're going to learn tonight is it's like a manual almost. He breaks it down step by step for us, what it means to be made alive in Christ. And so sometimes we could read the Bible and we're like, what are they talking about, right? We can get so confused and feel very lost. Tonight, we're going to piece it out together. And I think it's a pretty clear explanation of ways that we can step into living with Jesus that he offers us and really put on this power that we have when we receive Jesus to live anew. And so if you've come in after a long day and you're like, does anyone ever need a change in their life? You kind of feel like it's like the same thing over and over and over and over again. My prayer for us tonight is that as we enter this text, something starts to shift and move inside of us that shows us life is not the same with Jesus. It's not mundane. It's not the same thing over and over again. It's life to the full. It's life in abundance. It's an adventure with Jesus. And so that's what we're going to be studying tonight. So we're just going to read through the whole letter together. So I'm starting in Colossians 3:1. You can follow along on the screen or in your books, whatever you prefer. This is what Paul says. He says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So Paul's kind of laying out for us. He says, when you become a believer, when you receive Jesus, there's a whole new reality awaiting you. No longer do you have to live chained to the earth, stuck to earthly ways, stuck in earthly mindsets. There's a whole new life being offered to you. Has anyone ever been upgraded to anything, right? Especially when you're not expecting it, right? You're like, I was on a flight once and they're like, we need someone to switch. And the woman seemed very disgruntled. And I was like, oh yeah, sure, I can switch. And they're like, okay, come with me. And then the lady whispered, she goes, you're coming to first class. And I was like, oh. And I had never been to first class. Only just walked through and admired. But I got there and she's like, this is your seat. She's like, you can order whatever you want. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can go back to economy. But anyways, it was an unexpected, but it was an upgrade. It was like a whole different experience traveling in literally 20 feet of difference of plane. But it was like, oh, yeah, I'll take another one of those cookies around the horn, you know? It was a very different experience than what I had experienced. It was all a different vantage point. It was like, oh, this is a total different worldview to be in a different seat. And what Paul is saying is that when we come to know Jesus, when we receive him, we are called to fix our eyes on him, to embrace a new reality, to not see things as they were, to not see things stuck and stagnant, and to focus on the past and where we've messed up and other people have messed up. But he's saying, no, it's a whole new reality. You're raised to a new level. It's like when you're like at the bottom of a building and you're looking up at all the skyscrapers. If you go to the top of the skyscraper, it's a very different view. You have a lot more authority and power and know-how at the top of a building because you can kind of see it all, as opposed to the bottom where you can only see a few buildings in front of you. Paul's saying you've been raised to new life with Christ. Don't think that you are who you used to be. Don't think that everything is the same. Don't focus on earthly things. He says, put your mind above on what Christ has for you. And if you're wondering, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. Great, because that's what Paul's going to talk about in this letter. But what I really like is, if anyone does YouVersion, the verse of the day really struck me. It's John 5:24. And in the Passion Translation, it says this. It says, I speak to you in eternal truth. Jesus is speaking. If you embrace my message and believe in the one who sent me, you will never face condemnation. In me, you have already passed from the realm of death into eternal life. Isn't that good news? When we're in Jesus, we don't have to fear facing condemnation. We don't have to fear that the judge of the universe is going to scorn us or cancel us or quit on us or shame us or put us out to be judged by others. He says, no, when you're in me, there's forgiveness of sins. Your past, I wash you clean of your past. You're a new creation. You've passed into eternal life. Now, that's something that is even too mind-boggling for us to comprehend. What does eternal life mean? We don't know, but we get to live in the mystery of, wow, Jesus has allowed us to live forever with him and to not face condemnation. What a gift that is. So we're going to dig into, what does it mean to put on this new reality? What does it actually look like in a practical sense? Modern day America, we're post-Super Bowl now, bringing it back to LA. This is what Paul's word says to us. It says in Colossians 1, verse 5, he says this. He says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. I love that he uses the word lurking, because isn't that how sin feels? Like it's just kind of crawling around in all of us, kind of waiting to peep out. He says, get rid of that. Don't have it lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. So there's 3 points I'm going to focus on tonight. The first one is this. If we want to live in a new reality, we have to take off the old reality. There are things in our life that we need to leave behind. There's things that we can't carry with us into the Christian walk. Some things might feel comfortable. Some things might have given us purpose or meaning. Some things might feel like crutches for us. But Paul says, no. You can't bring the old into the new, because there's a new reality happening. And that old stuff, it used to trip you up. It used to trap you. It used to hurt you. It used to lie to you. And you don't need any of those things anymore. I used to be on swim team most of my childhood. And as I got older, the more competitive it got. And so as we would get ready for state meets and races and stuff, we would start to grow our body hair out, if you know what I mean. We didn't shave our legs. And what this did is it created extra traction in practice. And so sometimes we'd put on t-shirts to practice in. We wouldn't put our hair in swim caps because the drag would make our muscles work harder. And then when we got to the day of the big event, everything was shaved. Everything was taken off. We were put in our tightest little swim caps and our tight little suits and our tight goggles because that suction made us faster. There are things that we carry and that we wear that weigh our spiritual life down. Sin offers something that it can't actually redeem or cash in on, right? I look at that list, sexual immorality. How much of the world tells us that our sexual sides will bring us ultimate fulfillment, true love? It's when we'll feel most known and valued. And we take it outside of the confines of marriage, and that is not the case. That's not true freedom. That's not what God intended us for. We have soul ties with somebody that we were never meant to be with, and it creates heartache and pain and confusion, and there can be betrayal, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. All these things are promising something that they can't ultimately deliver on long term. And so Paul is saying, don't be tripped up by things that feel good, or seem good because they're not actually good for you and others in the long run. Don't get tripped up or trapped and stuck in a dead end that you ultimately will have to fight your way out of, because really the end of all those roads that don't lead to Jesus is heartache and pain. And most of us, I would imagine all of us, have been there. So he says, avoid these things. Don't fall into the allurement of the world that offers something but can't deliver. He says, take these things off. He says, get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language, lying. I wonder which of those lists, is there anything that you're resonating with that you're like, yeah, I got a little bit of anger. I got a little bit of road rage. There's some behavior in me that if someone else were to find out, I think they'd be disappointed in me. The things that I do in secret, I wouldn't want exposed to anybody else. Yeah, I've talked bad about other people. Yeah, I've used language that isn't appropriate, that's maybe offensive, maybe even hurtful to other people. Yeah, I've told little white lies before. Paul's saying all these little things stack up to make a life. And so he's saying when you are a new creation, if you want to see different, if you want to live on a different level, if you want to be, we're going to call it first class material, right? There's things that you got to leave behind and coach. There's things that aren't appropriate for this new life, this new way of being. And so many of them are really the things that just end up hurting us and hurting others. And what God wants for you is life and life to the full. So often we can label God as like, what a joy kill. Why can't I do all the things that my friends do? And why can't I just be part of the earth? And why can't I just fit in and like worship culture like everybody else? And God says, I have so much more for you than these little small offerings that the world gives. Because these things ultimately trip us up and they trap us and we get stuck in them. We don't get to move on from them. So I'm wondering today, as you evaluate your life, as you hear this, what is something that you need to get rid of? What's something that you're carrying? Maybe it's from childhood. Maybe you never intentionally put it on yourself. Maybe it's an addiction that was part of your family that was passed on through genealogies. What is holding you back and weighing you down and keeping you from seeing the new reality that God is painting ahead of you? What would God, if you were sitting on your bed, you were chit-chatting, just having a heart-to-heart, what would he ask you to get rid of in your life? I want you to consider that with him this week. What do I need to get rid of? Even if it's not a bad thing, maybe you're spending all your time with friends. Friends are amazing. Community is amazing. But maybe God's like, hey, I want some of that time for us time. I want you to be in your word. I want you to be with me. Your family is a beautiful thing. I still want you to worship them. I don't want you to put them above me. What would God ask you to take off that's holding you back from the life that he created you to live? So that's the first thing. There's stuff that we need to take off to live this new life. Let's go on. Verse 10 says this. Paul says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you were a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So the first thing we need to do to live in a new reality is take off the old. Second thing we need to do is put on the new. Has anyone ever played laser tag? It's really hard to play if you don't put on the equipment, because you kind of need the gun and you kind of need the thing that other people can shoot to get points and stuff, right? In order to play the game, you got to wear the right attire. Paul's saying there are things that we need to add on offerings that Jesus gives us that we need to wear as Christians, and what a difference they make. What a difference your self-identity is when it's placed in the love of God and not in the acceptance or approval of somebody else. When we receive his hope, when we receive his forgiveness, when we put on the tenderhearted mercy of God, the same mercy that he showed towards us, when we put that on and start showing that to the world, friends, it'll change your relational dynamics. If you've never been tenderhearted and kind and patient and forgiving to somebody, try it this week. It'll change the reality of your dynamic with somebody, because they will start to feel the warmth and the light and the invitation to be close to you, to support you, to love you in the same way. Paul's saying you and I get to be ambassadors of a different way of life because Jesus went to the cross and already made all access to us possible. We can only do it because Jesus lives inside of us, and he gives us the patience, the grace, the mercy, the tenderness towards others. Paul's saying you got to take advantage of the clothes that God wants to put on you. And at the end of the day, it's a choice. Right? We get to wake up every single day. God is never going to make you be kind to someone. I know some of us are like, it would be so much better if he just kind of ruled me and had to be kind to people and I didn't have to think about it. But God's like, no, you're a free agent. You choose, but you can choose every day to be kind to people. You can choose to be merciful or not merciful to other people. You can choose if you're going to chase the type of love that Jesus talks about or the kind of love that the world talks about. Self-love, self-promotion, self, you name it, right? He says, choose the path of Jesus with the free will that you have, with the wisdom God's given you, with the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Start clothing yourself different than the rest of the world. And the reason for this is that so it goes well with you, so others see Christ in you, so that you live in peace and not chaos and distress and anxiety, which is what all of us on some level are fighting. The world in its ways offers a war of anxiety, and Jesus in his kingdom offer something called shalom, which is so hard to even translate into English because it's so much more than peace. It's a way of life. It's a breathing. It's a community where things are centered on Jesus and they go the way God intended them to. Paul's saying you have a choice every day. If you put on the armor of Christ, if you put on love, forgiveness, peace, or if you just chase after whatever the world offers and throw on some anger and some road rage and some malice and some evil talk of others, if we just become what the world is, we don't live the way God intended us to. We end up kind of deadening ourselves with all the sin and chaos of others. And he's saying, don't live like that. Don't enter that. Live differently. Choose differently. Make allowance for each other's faults. Did anyone else feel a little like, oh? When I read that, I was like, there's a lot of faults out there, my own included. And sometimes it's hard to make space for them, right? When we look around, it's easy to be critical, judgmental of other people, disappointed in people. And he's saying, no. God doesn't look at you and judge and critique and criticize you. God looks at you with love and offers you another chance. And that's what you and I get to do for other people. We get to put on a different reality, and we get to be a difference maker in the places we go. How many of you know people that are peacemakers, that love others well, that are kind and tender-hearted? If you know any of these people, you know that they're kind of like magnets, right? People want to be around them. People want to hear what they have to say because it's encouraging. It's uplifting. We naturally gravitate towards people with all the characteristics that Paul listens to. And I think what God is inviting us to this week is, what is God asking you to put on? Maybe you've been in a hard season. You're like, Holy, I'm so frustrated. It's just like it's too hard to be kind. What would it look like for you to invite God to show you his kindness every morning so that you can show it to other people throughout the day? You see, we can't give away something that we haven't experienced. So if we're not willing to sit with Jesus, to be in his word, to pray, to calm ourselves, to center ourselves, to hear from him, to remove ourselves from the distractions of the world, on our own energy, we don't have the power, the strength, the wisdom to put on kindness and tenderheartedness and forgive others and carry peace with us and love others. But with Jesus, he says, when you partner with me, I come and I give you all the tools that you need to get through every single day. What would it look like for you to put one of the things that he lists on here? Tenderhearted, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, peace, thankfulness, love. God's inviting us to take his son's life, Jesus's life, and start applying it to our own, to start living and treating others the way Jesus himself treats us. What would God want you to put on this week? Last passage, it starts in verse 18. This is what it says. It says, so he lists all the things we take off, then he lists all the things we put on, and then he goes into the final part of the letter, and he says this. He says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children. They will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites. And lastly, masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. And so Paul culminates the letter in this final passage where he's talking about us having right relationships with one another. This is the goal of what we're working towards and taking off all the bad of our old life and putting on the new life. The whole point of walking with Jesus is to live right with God and to live rightly with others. And so he lists out, this is what right relationship looks like when we live out of a proper place of allowing Jesus to move through it. And the first thing he says is, wives, submit to your husbands. Friends, this is a verse that has been overused and misused many times in the church. But what the original intention of it was an equal submission. Submit to each other in love. Wives, submit to your husband. Respect your husbands. Men need respect. They cannot function without it. Respect to them is love. And so when we talk about the next one, husbands, love your wives. Do not ever treat them harshly. We expect from our husbands that they will love us unconditionally because that's part of the things that we desire. We need that as women. We need that love. Men need respect. They need to feel that we've got their back, that we're for them and we're not going to tear them down and rip them apart and make them less than. And so often I hear people say, well, if he loved me more, I'd respect him more. What God is saying in this is that you and I are equipped to start right relationships happening by the role that we play. We cannot control anybody else's actions. All we can control is our own actions. And so Jesus says, you do your part and watch the response of how people treat you. When we treat others well, generally others treat us well too. When we start acting poorly to others, generally others start acting poorly to us. And so he's saying, wives, respect your husbands, and husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. Give each other what you were created to give each other and what both of you needs. And then in this passage, the translation says slaves, but I think what feels more relevant in our time is just employees. Employees work hard as if you're working for the Lord and if you're serving him in your service. Do your job to the best of your ability. Someone is always watching you to see if you live up to what you profess. And when we go around telling people, I'm Christian, and we're slandering people at work, and we're cutting hours, and we're being dishonest, that doesn't represent Jesus well. So he's saying, if you're an employee, if you're working for somebody, work with the integrity as if you were working for the Lord. Do your very best. Do whatever you can to get the job done and to be loving and credible when you're doing it. And then they say, children, honor your parents. Always obey your parents. What a life in right relationship looks like is obedience to the parents. This gives them respect. This gives them honor. This gives them the role and the privilege that they need to continue to invest and pour into their children. Workers, obey your bosses. And bosses, be just and fair with your employees. Treat them the way your master, the way God treats you. However God treats you, you need to treat your employees that same way. See, everything Paul's talking about, living in a new reality, it's not just daily actions. It's how we interact and relate with one another. And what God is saying is, he said, I have created every part of the puzzle. Children, parents, men, women, employees. Everybody has a need and everybody has something to give. And when we do our part, when we step into new relationships, we get to experience relationships that are connected. Relationships that have mutual love and understanding, relationships that are honest, that are genuine, that are authentic, that build us up, that build others up. We get to live with what we were created for, and we all have a deep desire to be known and to know others. And God says, when you live right, when you allow the life that Christ has given you to take over and you make decisions towards other people in love, you're going to be met with relationships and love. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I think if we're all honest, that's one of our biggest cravings, is really to be in community with other people who make us more like Christ created us to be. When we get to walk with someone and love them like Christ and be loved by them like Christ, nothing fills our cup quite the same. And so Paul says, this is my charge to you. If you want to live the reality that Jesus has painted out for you, you got to fix your eyes differently. You got to figure out what needs to go in your life. You need to figure out what needs to be added. And then you need to work hard at relating to others the way God designed us to relate to one another. And let me say this, none of this is easy. None of this is going to be like walking out and like, okay, Coley said, stop lying and like start being kind and like respect my, I'm good. So easy to do. It's hard, but the point is that Paul is saying it's worth it. This is what creates complete transformation. This is what creates a different reality. This is what changes a coach position to a first class position when we live in right rhythms with the Lord. So I want to encourage you, when you go into your groups tonight, some of the leaders prepare questions ahead of time, some of them don't, and you kind of see where the group goes. But I would love for you to share in your groups, what is something you need to take off and have your group hold you accountable and pray for that? And what's something you're hoping to put on this week? What's something that Paul invites you to? Maybe it's humility. Maybe you've had a hard time with patience, gentleness. What's something that you want to put on? And what's one relationship you want God to do something new in? Maybe it's a spousal relationship, maybe it's a friendship, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a parent-child relationship. I don't know the situation, but what relationship do you want to see God work in to make right this week? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are a God who sees us and doesn't ever leave us where we are. You don't ever drop us and say, good luck, I hope you can figure it out. You're always giving us wisdom and tools and ways to grow in your likeness. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you would just speak to each woman that's here, Father. What is the invitation that you have for her specifically this week, God? What's something that's holding her back, keeping her in sin, God, keeping her in the grips of death? What would you have her remove this week to be closer to you, to experience just your nearness when she gets rid of it, Father? I pray that you'd also show us, God, where have we kind of missed the mark a little bit? What do we need to intentionally add to our days, to our mindsets, to our intentions? Where have we not been kind? Where have we been not tenderhearted? Where have we been not gracious and patient and loving and forgiving? Would you show us where we can enter in to that with you, God, and with your power and with your strength and with your help? Would you help us to be better in those areas this week, God? And Lord, you care so deeply about us and so deeply about our relationships, Father. Would you reveal to each one of us, God, what's one relationship that we can work to serve the other person, God, to do our best to love them, honor them, respect them? God, whatever it is, how can we make one specific relationship in our life? God, how can we do our part to make that right this week? Based on what Jesus has done and the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we pray for that relationship and the other person and ask that you would start to do something new with us, God, that we would be the first ones to change and that we would get to see the relation change out of it, Father. So Lord, I commit every woman to you right now, Father. Thank you for her heart. Thank you for her being here, God. Would you allow her just the freedom to experience you this week, God? Would you show us, would you give us like tangible little feelings of what it is like to be alive with Christ, to live at this new level, to live on a different plane than the rest of the world, God? We need you to elevate us. We cannot elevate ourselves, but we know in Christ you bring us to a new level. So I bless each woman that's here, God. Seal her in the power and the love of Jesus as she goes tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.